a look. Pressure, pressure. Can't get away from it. He is sacked. Back at his own 38-yard line. He is brought down by Jacob Martin.
All right. Here we are once again. 1 hour in the books. 2.5 hours more to go. Brayton Wilson, Derek Kramer here with you talking about the Bills' loss yesterday to the Houston Texans, a 22-19 overtime loss in Houston. Bills' season is done, and we're here to take your phone calls. We're here to hear your grievances with the football team if you want to air your grievances.
Welcome.
Or if you want to talk about the positives, if you want to look forward to the future of this team, which I think there are plenty of positives with this team.
Festivus come late?
Sure.
Airing of grievances?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, look, last hour we were kind of commiserating about this team. I think we can also now try to put our foot forward and figure out what the Bills do here from now. The Patriots looked very mortal once again. Their offense was trash again.
I'm already looking at the spot track with the salary cap and seeing who's free agent, who's not, who you could maybe cut.
I want Jordan Phillips re-signed. Absolutely want him re-signed. Not just because of his performance as a player, but the man just seems like a genuine guy at this point that you like to have in your locker room. The problem is he's played so well that he might have priced himself out of Buffalo because of the fact that they already have a big contract in Star Lotulelei at the position, and they already drafted Ed Oliver to be the next piece for the future for this defensive line. But I want this team to re-sign Jordan Phillips in any way that they possibly can.
Keep that. That'd be great. That defensive line intact as much as possible.
Yeah, and he's been great for them. And 9.5 sacks throughout the season, that is production that you need. And ever since he came over from the Miami Dolphins, thank you, Adam Gase, once again.
Yeah.
He has been a very good player for them on the interior. So I want that man re-signed. Shaq Lawson has earned himself another contract depending on what the price point is. I don't know if it will be with Buffalo, but he is going to go ahead and get a nice little raise. I think that this team really has a lot of money that they could play with.
Yeah.
And the question is, what can they do now? But you also look at the rest of this division.
Yeah.
Brady. There's questions about if he comes back as a Patriot. And even if he does, he's not that good anymore.
He's not the same. Not even close.
The Patriots' defense is still good, so they're going to be still a threat. The Jets are probably going to not be as terrible as they were this past year.
No, it all depends on if Adam Gase is going to put things together right off the bat or he's going to totally fall apart.
Oh, right.
And then Adam Gase. And then put it all together when it's too little too late. And the Dolphins are the Dolphins.
Yeah, so
their quarterback question, you know, the quarterback is still in question, whether it's Fitzpatrick or Josh Rosen or Tua Tagovailoa.
Even though I don't believe
Tua is that great of a quarterback as it is anyway.
The Bills were in the conversation for the division in week 16 of the NFL season.
That's
you know what that
new.
Means to me? You know what that means to me? The division's in play next.
Yeah.
Simple
absolutely.
As that.
Absolutely.
I want it. Give it to me.
Yeah.
You know what? You ripped me off of a playoff loss here. I mean of a playoff win here. Go get me the division next year. That's one way to make up for it.
So here are your free agents next year. I'll run down the list of free agents, the notable free agents, and I'll bring up the question to you, too. Between Jordan Phillips and Shaq Lawson, who are both unrestricted free agents, if you could only bring back one of them, who are you picking?
I'm picking Shaq Lawson based on your needs at the position. I think it's because of the fact that Harrison Phillips was looking like the best defensive tackle on this team to start the year before he was injured, and they are going to remember that.
Right. It's oftentimes you kind of glance over the fact that, oh, yeah, Harrison Phillips is still here.
They're going to remember that.
Yeah.
And
as long as he can stay healthy, because it's his second ACL tear.
Playing defensive line is not easy.
No, it isn't. He tore his ACL in college when he was in Stanford, and then he tore it again this year. And I don't know if it's the other ACL that he tore before.
That's why a lot of offensive linemen and defensive linemen, they have those bulky braces, man.
Yeah.
It's not an easy spot to be.
No, it really isn't.
But, if I'm going to choose one of them, I think it's going to be Shaq Lawson because price point, your contract situation with the D-tackles already, and the fact that Lawson looked like he did get better as a pass rusher for this team this season.
So here are your other free agents that are notable. Obviously, Lorenzo Alexander's retiring. He's done. So he would have been an unrestricted free agent. His contract's done. He's retiring. He's calling it a career. Kevin Johnson, Quentin Spain. Let's see here. LeAdrian Waddle. Can't forget that he was on the roster here before he had his season-ending surgery. That was back in the preseason, right?
Get Quentin Spain locked up.
Yeah, Quentin Spain is very good.
He was fantastic for this team all season.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing about interior offensive linemen. If you don't hear about them, that means they're doing a great job.
Exactly. It's like a defenseman in hockey. You don't hear about a defenseman, they're usually doing their job, and you don't have to worry about them.
Exactly. And John Feliciano and Quentin Spain and Mitch Morse, all three of them had fantastic seasons for you on that offensive line. Quentin Spain gave up zero sacks for the entire season.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
It's very
good. How did the Bills become the only team to offer him a one-year contract?
I know.
He was a very underrated piece in Tennessee.
I think now a lot of people are going to be lining up to get him signed to a contract. He's 29, so yeah, that's...
You're looking at probably a five-year deal.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, if the Bills can get him locked up before any other team decides to, that's fine. Some of the other free agents are Frank Gore, obviously, Julian Stanford... whatever. Maurice Alexander, again, another whatever. Kirk Coleman, Corey Leggett. I actually liked Corey Leggett. When he came in, I felt the run defense locked itself up really nicely. And even then, Leggett was able to be a factor in the passing defense as well.
Yeah, and that's why I would say that you're going to end up letting Jordan Phillips walk, unfortunately.
Yeah,
I like the player. He has really been good, but you have depth. Harrison Phillips comes back, and then Leggett could be another depth piece for you.
I was kind of surprised Leggett became available in the middle of the season. He was with the Raiders, I think.
Yeah, and then he got cut.
Yeah.
Well, for whatever reason.
Interesting to me. Maybe he was making a bit too much for what he was providing, but I think he signed with the Bills for a vet minimum. And I thought he was fine.
Other free agents, the only other unrestricted free agent is Center East Perry. Your restricted free agents are Isaiah McKenzie, Dean Marlowe. And then your exclusive rights free agents are Jason Kroom, Levi Wallace, and Robert Foster.
So a lot of depth pieces. Levi Wallace is a guy that has earned himself a nice little deal, being the corner opposite of Tre'Davious White. And you saw it yesterday. His presence was missed.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he had some ups and downs this season, but I definitely think that
the end of the season he was putting it together.
It was very much for Levi Wallace, like the run defense. Like the run defense looked awful for three or four straight weeks, and we were thinking, oh God, what's going on? Levi Wallace had a point where it was like, what is going on with Levi Wallace? And then he turned himself around. It was like it was very identical with each other.
I think after the loss to Cleveland, he had an especially not his greatest game, and I was at the end of that rope. And then after that, he turned it around. But then it turned Kevin Johnson into this guy. It's like, oh, it's really nice to have this guy. And I think with them, it was nice to have a rotation there.
Yeah.
And not having that yesterday might have hurt him.
Yeah, if the Bills could bring back Kevin Johnson, that would be pretty nice. I think he's had a decent year.
I would still say I want Levi Wallace back before I would want Kevin Johnson.
Yeah, sure.
I think Levi Wallace is just, he's a regular starter for this team.
And maybe you could draft a cornerback.
You can do that. And I think Saran Neal is a rotational piece that you could still use in that sort of situation. Taron Johnson's your slot corner still. I think you've got a lot of options there. Kevin Johnson was a nice depth piece to have. You could find another one like that in free agency.
Yeah.
If he turns around and gives you a nice team-friendly contract, absolutely bring Kevin Johnson back.
The defense is going to look very solid again this year because they're going to have those consistent pieces back again.
The core pieces are back.
We talked about consistency last year with only one player changing over, and that was Kyle Williams retiring. This upcoming year, I mean, Jordan Phillips is maybe the one piece that's missing. Obviously, Lorenzo Alexander.
Who slides in? Ed Oliver,
Harrison Phillips, one of those guys. Yeah, it'll be fine.
Got it.
Yeah, one thing with the line is that it's like when Darcy Regier is the GM, and you just never worried who was the goalie of the Sabres.
Yeah.
I feel like Buffalo has been very good at identifying depth defensive line pieces that have value and can contribute to the team. So that's one area where I'm not too worried about it, but it is some concern.
The only thing that would be maybe concerning is if Leslie Frazier gets any consideration for a head coaching job, because then you'd lose your defensive coordinator. You'd have to find someone new.
Someone that pretty much shares the vision of Sean McDermott,
too. It seems like it's more of Brian Daboll getting the head coaching consideration than Leslie Frazier, which is maybe a little surprising, but...
It's less surprising when you think about Leslie Frazier being a head coach before,
past,
and maybe nobody wants to take a chance on that.
Yeah, nobody wants the retread.
Although it's really tough to blame Leslie Frazier for Christian Ponder being his quarterback, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, that's
Christian
a good
Ponder
point.
Was not a great quarterback.
And even then, they still made several playoff appearances under Frazier with Christian Ponder as the quarterback.
And Joe Webb, if you remember.
Oh, my God, Joe Webb. 803-0551, 888-552-552. Let's get your phone calls in. Feel free to call in. We got one line open right now, but we'll open up a couple more as we take some phone calls here. Let's start off with John in Buffalo. John, good morning. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
You know, I'm just still a bit devastated by the game last night, obviously. You know, what I liked about the game, I know he's gotten a little bit of criticism for, you know, some carelessness, but Josh Allen balled out, in my opinion. He ran the ball really well. He made some throws where you're just like, oh, my God, how'd he do that? He put guys in positions to make plays. He was picking up first downs. He threw a couple perfect balls to Duke Johnson. That one was at the end of the half where he, you know, should have probably caught that ball in the end zone. Another one down the sideline that, you know, got knocked out of Duke's hands. But he put us in a position to win the game still. And, you know, I truly, as critical as I've been of the offense, I still am going to be critical of the offense and Brian Daboll.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we put up 19 points a game on average, and that's where we are at 19 points. And here we are, we get 13 points at half, and, you know, you don't – was that the most Josh Allen threw all season, 46 pass attempts?
Yeah, by far.
Devin Singletary didn't get a rush in overtime.
Yeah, it's a little puzzling, John. Thanks for the call. And I mean, yeah, certainly Allen did have those instances where – and I said this earlier in the year, too, and I'll say it again – as the year is going on, we've definitely seen more of the Josh Allen instead of being the, oh my gosh, what are you doing on that play, Josh Allen? We're all saying more of, what a play, what a throw. That was incredible about what we saw from Josh Allen. But there's still those instances where Josh Allen's making critical mistakes with the football. That the play where he fumbled the ball in the third quarter, that for me was the point where everything changed in that game. You were still up 16-8, you were still doing well, and you were actually moving the ball down the field. Then Josh carelessly was holding onto the football and had it stripped out of his hand. Those are instances where in a situation like that, I don't even care if Josh Allen has to tuck it and run like a running back. You have to hold on to the football in a situation like that. This isn't the regular season. This isn't week four anymore. This is the wild card round of the playoffs. This is the first round. You need to make a statement, and in that instance, I need my quarterback holding on to the football.
Not to mention the other part of this is that, look, yeah, Josh Allen did do things that made you say, wow, yesterday. Like a couple of third down conversions in overtime in particular.
You're like, wow. Yeah, the one throw to Duke Williams where he extended the play and then Williams got free for a bit. He threw that in there on a rope. Like it was a tight throw and it was a perfect throw.
The problem here is that Josh Allen was brought in as the big play potential quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Where the hell has that been this year? That he has regressed as a deep ball thrower.
Yeah.
He looks great now in the intermediate, but the problem is that he's not doing it enough.
Right. The touch that he was showing last year, and I'll remember this discussion for a while because we had this discussion on the morning show. Howard, Jeremy, Sal was in on it, and myself. What's the one play that Josh Allen had from the time he came back from his injury, from the elbow injury, to the end of the season where you see it and you think, okay, there's some promise here. And it was those nice touch passes. Mine was the throw to Robert Foster against the Lions where he steps up in the pocket, has all day, and just throws a nice touch pass to him. And it's a touchdown. It was a great throw.
Or the Jaguars one where he has the opposite of all day.
Right, exactly.
That's the one I was going
to
point to.
And that was the one that was brought up. But the problem is that this year we didn't see that until week 16 against the Patriots.
Yep.
And even then, it was
that play was more John Brown just completely running his route.
And the throw to Dawson Knox was a nice one, too. But again, we didn't see that enough this year. That's where we need to see the touch on his throws. He oftentimes likes to throw those bullets. And it seems like more often than not, it's going to be like, okay, are you going to overthrow the guy by 15 yards or are you going to underthrow the guy? And you just never know at this point. I need to see more of that touch from Josh Allen. And I think we didn't see that enough this year.
And again, Allen did do some great things. Josh Allen was a roller coaster yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And you need some more consistency there.
Yeah.
You do also need better play calling. You do need better personnel usage. I'm still baffled that Singletary didn't even get 20 touches yesterday. He was close to 20. He got to 19 with his receptions and carries combined. But the way he was playing, you needed to have him on the field the entire game. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case.
Devin Singletary was the one guy that I thought should have been touching the ball every other play.
Brian Daboll had some problems too. Like, you can't go ahead and not – you scored 3 points after you had a 16-0 lead.
Mm-hmm.
That comes on a lot of heads. That comes on a lot of people. And it just
and you
really
were up 16-0, too, at that point. You blew a 16-point lead.
That comes down to a lot of people. And Brian Daboll had his problems in this one.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, I don't know what's going to happen with Daboll. I don't know what the head coaching considerations with him are going to be, how serious they are. But I'm going to go ahead and say at the end of the day, a lot of that does fall on him too with the play calling.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that Sean McDermott is over his shoulder with these sorts of things.
Oh, God, no.
Because
no.
Like, people might be saying, oh, maybe it's about McDermott saying that he's conservative and
no.
You know, they want to protect the lead and everything like that. You're not getting head coaching consideration if that's happening.
Right.
You're not getting head coaching consideration if you've got a guy over your shoulder telling you what to do.
And Nate Gary brought it up this morning. The only way that he's really any influence on Brian Daboll here is if it's like a fourth down and he's saying, we're going for it on fourth down,
so
or
what do you
anything
got?
Like that.
Yeah, we're going for it. What do you got?
But it's all on Daboll here. He's the guy that is
it's not all
the
on
engineer.
Daboll,
he's the conductor of this offense.
It's not all on Daboll, though.
Right.
Allen needs to execute.
Right. Exactly.
Your offensive line.
Everyone needs to execute. Yeah. The offensive line needs to help out your quarterback. And then those the drive before you tied the game, the one where you had the intentional grounding on third down, and then the fourth down he almost ran into the official.
Quite honestly, get aggressive in the draft. Go get your DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, no, like
go get that guy.
What disappoints me, what really disappoints me is the whole play fearless comment after the like right before the Miami game. That was the whole talking point, was after the Browns game, it was like, okay, we need to be more fearless. We need to play fearless on offense. They got that for 1 week against Miami. The next week was against Denver, and they got 20 points out of that.
Well, they ran all over them. They didn't need to.
Right, they didn't need to. And then you played Dallas, you got the win. But like the rest of the year, it didn't feel like it was that fearless mentality. I don't think there was enough fearless play from this offense. The week after the Browns lost to Miami, yeah, they put up 37 points, and they looked fearless. But the rest of the year, that consistency did not keep up. And I definitely want to see more consistency on that point.
You need to see consistency on the offense, and that was something they didn't give you.
Thanks for the call, John. Sorry about the long talking points there. We got to get to more phone calls here. Let's go to Larry in South Florida. Larry, good morning. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, guys. Last night after the game, I was numb, and then this morning I woke up thinking about everything, and I just got really upset. So I do want to get to a point for the future, what I think we should do. But there's just so many things about that game last night that just did not sit well with me. You guys talked about all of them. The fact that they're running Gore, when Singletary was stopped, he was still pushing forward for 2 or 3 yards. Why are you running Gore in critical situations like that? The bomb to a double-covered fullback. Yeah, you guys touched on it. Allen made the throw. He decided to make the throw. But why the heck is he even out there in the first place running that route? You know, you got three guys that can absolutely fly on that team. You know, that's who you should be going through, not to mention, you know, Mike Williams is a big target. I know he's Duke Williams, but I know he's faster than our fullback, for goodness sakes. The Daboll, he designed an amazing first drive, and then all of a sudden we're back to Mr. Conservative, and one of those four field goals should have been a touchdown, and you're not going to win in the playoffs when you're kicking four field goals, and three of those field goals you're in the red zone for anyway, which I don't understand.
Yeah.
The delay of game call that was missed, and that crackback block. I'm certain that guy saw Cody Ford to call that penalty at that stage of the game. So that's my venting that I needed to do. And I'd love to get your opinion on this. Moving forward for next year, there's two receivers out there that I'd love for them to target. I still want them to draft a receiver in the first round, a big receiver, but you need to groom them, you know, rookie year. I'd love, love, love A.J. Green. I'd love to see you do what you need to do to go get him and get him for 2 or 3 really good seasons. Or break the bank and go get Amari Cooper. You have enough money. I agree. I want him to sign Jordan Phillips. I'd love to see him keep Shaq Lawson. And you're going to have to spend a lot of money down the road, but why not go after one of those two receivers? Thanks, fellas.
Yep, thanks, Larry. Your receiver point, I mean, A.J. Green. I like both of them, but A.J. Green couldn't even play this year because of injury concerns. He's been injured for the past few years, and that's been a huge concern.
What that does is that's a 2-year deal.
Right. And then Amari Cooper, I mean, yeah, he had some brilliance in Dallas, and then other games he was completely absent. Like, it was just like he was on the field, but where was he? And I like Amari Cooper. And either of those guys I'd sign. A.J. Green definitely is like stay healthy, prove that you're still worthy in this league, and we'll give you a shot. Whereas, like, Amari Cooper, yeah, you're probably going to have to put out a ton of money there. But
I don't hate either of those ideas, though.
Right, I don't hate it either. There were a lot of things that Larry brought up. I'm just, I think it's a lot of points that we've talked about already. So But thanks again for the call, Larry. Always good to hear your voice. Let's head back out to the phones here. Let's go to Mitch in Lockport. Mitch, good morning. You're on WGR.
Morning, guys. I just wondered with Brian Dable there, in the overtime, why is he going with an empty backfield, not using Singletary? I just didn't understand the play calling in the overtime. It's like we were rushing up to get the play call, leaving Josh Allen back there out to dry with no running back or nothing. I just didn't understand that play call. I wonder if you could... We had an opinion on that at all. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, Mitch.
I think part of that is how effective he has been with the no huddle this season. I don't hate the play calls he had in that overtime drive, as a matter of fact. They were doing a pretty good job with it. Yes, Singletary absolutely should have had the football, and I've been saying it. I've been pounding my fist on that the whole time. But the problem is that at the same time, you look at this and you see, he's moving the ball pretty effectively, especially on third down in that drive. You would have liked to make it a little more comfortable. That's where I would have liked to see like a draw play to Singletary or something like that on that overtime drive.
Right.
However,
or a screen pass to Singletary.
What was mentioned by Larry is something I'm going to bring up now. That crackback block or whatever that flag was called.
Yes. Yeah, I did want to bring that up too.
Was that a penalty? By rule, yes.
Yes. By rule it is, but that was
what's
a
the
weak,
rule?
weak
it's
call.
A weak rule.
Yeah.
That's the problem, is that it's not necessarily, like, the refs did their job proper on that play.
Yes.
It was something that's supposed to happen. Cody Ford, now he's going to go forward and say, okay, next time I'm just going to put an arm out and that's it.
Yep.
That's all I'm going to do next time.
The problem is, though, is that
it's the rule.
Yeah.
It's not the enforcement. It's not the infraction. It's the rule.
What they're trying to avoid.
It's unfortunate.
What they're trying to avoid is the crackback blocks that injure guys, that are very dangerous plays. That wasn't necessarily a dangerous play. Cody Ford did not lower his shoulder and try to kill the guy necessarily or try to hurt him. It was just, hey, I'm trying to block for my quarterback to make a play.
But now there's lessons. Now he'll just stand in the way. And
right.
Make him go
almost
around
like a pick
him.
Play.
Yes. There's ways around this.
But then they'll call flag for that too, and
they won't if there's no contact.
Yeah,
what I'm saying is or he'll just put an arm out.
Yeah.
There's ways around this now. This is a lesson for him. It's a rough one. And again, that's the rule.
Right.
I'm not mad at it because of the fact that, you know, it was the rule.
Yeah.
That is unfortunately what it is.
The way
again,
it's enforced
they
though is...
should not have been in a situation where that play even exists.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's
like
very
that is what killed your drive in overtime.
Yeah,
you shouldn't have been there in the first place.
Right, exactly. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We'll hear more of your phone calls coming up here in a little bit. We'll also hear from the locker room as Sal's going to be down at One Bills Drive for locker room cleanout. We'll get Josh Allen live at 11:30, and then we'll hear from a number of players from the locker room as the day goes on. But we'll hear more of your phone calls. We'll get more of your thoughts coming up next year. Brayton Wilson, Derek Kramer here on a little bit of Sports Talk Sunday here for you on WGR.
Snap. Rolls to his right. He's going to fire left side. Caught by Singletary. He has a couple of blocks in front of him. Motor on the run at the 40, 45 at midfield into Houston territory. And there's the big play you talked about. That's a big play as Singletary goes out of bounds at the 37-yard line. Allen takes, looks, pressured, rolls right, looks downfield, stops, waits, having trouble finding anybody, rolls to his right, fires downfield, it is caught, and goes down at the 43-yard line. It is Devin Singletary who makes the catch. You called it, Eric. They pick up a first down there. Wow, what a play that was. A 14-yard pickup on 3rd and 9.
Hey, another play to Devin Singletary. I still can't believe they didn't use him that much. Or as much as they should have used him.
He was downright special yesterday.
He was awesome. It was incredible watching him run the football. Run the football or, you know, have a catch or whatever. And,
downright
and
special.
Make plays. And how you don't use him more in overtime or late in the game just baffles me. And I get it. You have to rely on your quarterback to be that perennial playmaker and drive the football down the field. But you got to get the ball to Devin Singletary in situations like that just because he was so good with the ball.
Yeah, so it's tough. By the way, this afternoon,
on WGR Sports Radio 550. Westwood One presents the NFC Wildcard Games featuring the Vikings at the Saints. That coverage gets started at 12:30. When we're done here, we're going to take you up to 12:30 so that you can get Vikings at Saints. And then that one is followed up by the Seahawks at the Eagles at 4:30. Playoff football on WGR. It's brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's a place to buy a case and buy Armor Heat. Do it right the first time.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 are the numbers here to get a hold of us, and we'll take your phone calls here. Let's head out to the phone lines, and let's go to Jerry and Kenmore. Jerry, good morning. You're on WGR.
Hey, good morning, guys. You know what? I'm tired of one thing, and I'm going to have to move if all I hear about it is for the next 6 months. Do you know taking care of the ball, unless you're Jameis Winston, throwing the ratio of 5-5, it's not a real thing. It's a trade-off. You need the ratio. That's why he's not making big plays, but he's not making mistakes either, you know, because they come hand in hand. Would you take Devin Singletary heading 25 carries a game, 130 yards, one touchdown, and one lost fumble every week? Absolutely. That's what comes with it. But, you know, in the middle of the schedule, we lost to Philly, we beat Washington, and then we lost to Cleveland. You know how many times Josh Allen turned the ball over in those three games? One. It's not a real thing. It's about making plays. Our best playmakers on offense are young players that this team does not trust. They don't trust Josh Allen. They don't trust Singletary not to fumble in crucial situations. They don't trust Knox not to drop the ball. There's this old-school fascination with this team with put Gore in there because he'll manage the game. Let your young players that are playmakers be stars, and with that comes mistakes. The ratio is what is important. You're never going to get zero mistakes out of Josh Allen. If you do, you're never getting big plays out of him either.
Yeah, Jerry, that's a lot of point with everything. It's just they're almost trying to make Josh Allen to be a game manager, where we've had a game manager before in Tyrod Taylor. That's where the whole point of, okay, we need that play fearless mentality to come into play, and that we didn't see enough of this year.
I will say this. I don't necessarily think that it is they're not coaching him to be that necessarily. I think he's taking a lot of that, and he is understanding that he needs to be a little less reckless with the football. The thing is that you still have to make the plays.
Right.
Jerry was right about that. Like, mm-hmm. Absolutely let the guys play. But at the same time, Josh Allen does have to make some more proper reads.
Yeah.
He's got to get better.
Or he has to protect the football and
he's, yeah.
When the time comes, the fumbles are in.
The fumbles are getting frustrating.
Yes.
They need to stop.
And again, I'll say this again, and I'll say it again.
You can make as many plays.
I'll say it again. When Josh Allen fumbled that ball when it was 16-8, that changed everything. Because at that point, if you were feeling comfortable about the game still, like I was, that happens, and it's...
He had another one overturned on a review.
Yeah.
Remember that. Early in the game, he had a fumble that was overturned.
Yeah.
He puts the ball on the carpet way too much for us to feel comfortable. And it's not something that I want to see on a consistent basis. You can have ball security and making plays without the fumbles like that that are going to make everyone's head explode.
Yeah.
And by the way, I just love that Jameis Winston's name is featured in this. And wow, what an anomaly that man is.
God.
The 30 and 30 club.
30 and 30 club. He's the one and only in that club.
Yeah. I love it.
I mean, obviously, I hope that Josh Allen does not turn into Jameis Winston because...
But that lateral play, right. he's bad Jameis there.
Yeah.
Like... Holy hell!
Yeah, you have to be a smarter playmaker there. You have to be smarter with the football, and that's where everything has kind of come up with that discussion
there.
Yeah,
Jesus.
Yeah,
don't
make plays like that again, Josh.
Yeah,
that's something that hopefully you'll learn from.
And you can be careful with the football and still want your guys to make
year
the plays.
Year three with Josh Allen, I definitely want to see him kind of have that game manager title stripped away from him. Strip the game manager title, like, not completely, because you still want him to be able to manage a game right. But at the same point, he needs to take more risks. He needs to do some more things with the football that's not running the ball and fumbling.
He needs to win you the game.
Right. He needs to win the game. He needs to make the throws more consistently. He needs to make those nice touch passes.
Let me rephrase that. He needs to be the reason you won the game.
Yes.
Josh Allen has all these comebacks, but there's a reason for that. He and the offense don't get going for an entire game. They don't play a full
60 minutes.
I'd like to win a football game much sooner, like the Dallas Cowboys game. You felt that game was over halfway through the third quarter.
Yes.
That's the type of football we need to see from the Bills more often. We saw that once this year, or maybe twice, because a couple of the teams were terrible. The Redskins game is the game maybe that I think of most, where it's just like, okay, but like, it's third quarter, this game's over.
But in this instance, Houston's clawing back at this thing. You know what you need? You need your quarterback to make the plays.
Exactly.
You need your quarterback. You need to be able to rely on him, and you need to be able to lean on him. And that is something that needs to happen, whether that is coaching, play calling, or the quarterback's ability in itself. You did not trade up to the number 7 overall pick to try to protect him.
Mm-hmm.
No, let it happen. And guess what? I think that the problem with that is that if Allen's not good enough and he's going to get people fired, well, I think we need to see that for ourselves.
Yeah, we need to see that sooner than later. But yeah, that's why year 3 for me is, okay, this is more of the year where we need to see Josh Allen be more of the difference maker, the factor for the Bills in wins.
The number not, 7 overall pick.
Right, not the defense, because the defense can still be great, but I don't want to still have to talk about, okay, the defense won us this football game and the offense made enough plays. I want the factors in every single win next year to be Josh Allen made X play, he made Y play, he made Z play in order to help the Bills win the football game, and not just in the fourth quarter, win the football game early, win it in the second quarter, third quarter, make more of a difference early on and more often.
Yeah,
that's what I want to see from Josh Allen moving forward.
Hell, I'll even take 4 of those next year. 4. Yeah. 4. I just threw an arbitrary number out there, also known as more than what you got this year.
Let's take another phone call here. Let's go to Curtis in Niagara Falls. Curtis, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning. Good.
You know, there's a lot of callers already, and I don't want to beat a dead horse, about the Singletary situation. And talking with some friends of mine about the Bills, I was saying that like 3-4 games towards the end of the season. Like, I understand Gore's value to the locker room, but a lot of his carries was taken away from Singletary, and it was obvious that Singletary was coming on and was a more effective runner. And you know, I just – that's something that's been bothering me towards the end of the year. And also – Jerry had a lot of good points. Like Knox, where was Knox yesterday?
Yeah, we've brought that up. We've asked that a couple of times. Just kind of like,
brought
why
it up to sale, actually.
Why didn't you target Knox earlier on? Because he's a guy that, again, is your top tight end target and a guy that has been pivotal in your game. And you just completely abandoned him until the fourth quarter in overtime. Maybe not abandoned, but still, you just didn't get him enough.
I wouldn't say that necessarily. I think that the tight ends have been okay as a position group
this
year.
But I mean, you're
Knox
looking
has
at,
had some good plays this season,
but
he's not. It's not like he was like mini Gronk or anything.
No,
over here.
No.
And no, like
maybe what I said was
and what
taking
Sal,
it a little.
I know,
up
but
a
like,
notch,
but in what Sal said, like you're needing your tight ends to get some extra protection for you. I'm not really worried about the tight ends in this one. The tight ends have been okay this year as a group. It's not like they were all difference makers,
but they're there for you. They're still available. They're still getting open.
And guess what?
You need to target them more.
That has to do with the quarterback, too.
Yeah.
He has to see them. Are they open? Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
Is he seeing them open? No.
Yeah.
If they're open or not, I don't know if he's seeing it. I don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to get on anything about like the lack of usage of the tight ends, because that might just simply be execution by your quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's head out to the phone lines again. We're still taking your phone calls at 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Curtis, thank you for the call. Let's go to Ethan in North Tonawanda. Ethan, good morning. You're on WGR.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Sure.
So I just want to say something real quick, and then I'll get going. I am just I'm 22 years old, so I've never seen the Bills win. And I just want to say how thankful I am that we have Josh Allen, and we have McDermott, and we have Brandon Bean. And what they did with this team this year, the past, you know, 3 years, has been fantastic. And I'm just so thankful and so excited for the future. You know, we're playing conservatively, but I think it's important to teach the young players about being conservative and being smart. And I think their superstardom will come out in the future. And that's what I'm hopeful for.
Thank you for the call, Ethan. I'm not disagreeing here at that point at all. And I think that you have some validity to an extent, but eventually you have to see the players, especially the young players, take that step instead of being conservative and instead of being, again, the game managers and protecting a lead or something. You want to see them step on some throats and take control of some games. This was a game yesterday that you should have seen Josh Allen take control and the rest of the team, and they just let Houston stay in the game, and it bit them in the rear end.
You know what? I'm going to piss off some people real quick.
Oh,
I might make TJ's day worse.
I'm used to it at this point.
Just be sure you're not violating the FCC policies
or
anything.
I said piss people off, not get fined. honestly,
like you could pay it.
Exactly. Why would I do that? Why would I get fined if I know I can't pay it? So here's my thing. Yes, you can be happy about this team making the playoffs, but can we stop accepting that? Can we stop going to the airport for this team after losses? They went to the airport after the Patriots lost. What did they do that game? Nothing. They didn't clinch anything. They clinched the game, the Pittsburgh one. Sure, you can go visit them then. We need to stop accepting this as, oh, the Bills were terrible for X amount of years. No, why don't we look forward here and expect this team to actually be able to do
something?
And
I think that's what Ethan was trying to make the point, though.
Ethan, I get it, but at the same time, like, I get it. You've been used to the Bills being just dreadful for pretty much your entire life.
Did anyone go to the airport after yesterday's game?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And,
I didn't see it. That's why I was asking.
Honestly, we don't need to. It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to do it for every game. You don't. You don't have to anymore. Like, I'm sick of having to see it when you overplay it like that at that point.
Yep.
Just stop.
It was one of those things where it was cute the first time, and now it's just like, all right.
Because it was historic.
If anything, now there's expectations.
Yes.
So
let's
we need to stop sending the message that is an okay performance of anything that happened last night.
Here's what I'll say.
Because yesterday was not an okay performance. As a matter of fact, that was something that angered a lot of people because you had them beat.
Yeah.
You know what? I want to expect wins. I want to have the feeling that we should have these expectations of this team. I get appreciating this season for what it was.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, less than 12 hours after one of the most heartbreaking losses that we've seen, not the time. Still not the time for that. Why don't you call on Monday for that? Why don't you call on Tuesday for that? Because right now, I'm still looking at this and going, you had the Houston Texans down to rights, dead to rights, and you had your chance. I don't want to accept, okay, this was good. We can do more next year, but this was good. No, I'm not happy with how this ended because it was a sour taste in my mouth. I don't need these people. I don't need people going to the airport on a constant basis anymore. And I'm pretty sure the team doesn't want that anymore.
Sal said it. I said it. You've said it. I'll say it again.
Stop accepting it just for what it was. Let's strive for the best that we can do.
This Bills team was better than the Texans team that they played yesterday, and they were expected to win. They should have won this game. They had a 16-0 lead into the third quarter, and you let them back in the game because you did not make the plays that you should have made. The play calling was a little bit off, and...
But, oh, hey, thanks for making the playoffs!
Yeah.
Thanks!
Right. This was supposed to be the, hey... Let's win this game and let's make a statement and then go into Kansas City or Baltimore and
where was all
make
the hype?
Something happen.
Where was all the hype? Where was all the hype for this week? It was, we're talking about the game. We're not talking about, oh, they're in the playoffs. No, we're talking about the game.
The game. Where we're in 2017, the whole talk the entire week was, holy crap, we're back in the playoffs. This
it
is
was
absolutely amazing. We backed in. We ended the drought. Who cares what happens? We're going to go to the playoffs and we're just there.
I'm sick. Quite frankly, now I'm sick of it. The Patriots game was really the one for me because I was salty then and now I'm saltier now about it. We don't need to greet them every time they come back from the airport, especially after a loss at this point. Let's go ahead and strive for something. Yes, I get appreciating that this team is actually doing things instead of having a 17-year historically bad playoff drought. But we want more. It's okay to want more. Trust me.
Yeah.
I've been through a lot of it.
No, it's fine.
Like Brayton, like TJ, we're in that demographic. But that doesn't mean that we should just be okay with, oh, you made the playoffs. Nice job,
yeah.
Sweetie.
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm not okay with just another playoff appearance. I wanted this win badly.
You want some more of this? Come at me.
And hey,
because
listen.
I just don't want to hear any more about, oh, they did a good job.
Listen.
If I want to hear that sort of stuff, I would, oh my God.
Listen.
No, I don't want to get in trouble.
Listen, I'll try to calm you down here, Derek. I'll try to calm you down. I'm fine with people supporting the team. And we're going to support the team, too. We support
Today's
the team.
Today's not the day for
but,
it.
But at the same point, this was the type of game where you had them in your sights. You had this team in your sights, and you could have gone for the final blow, and you didn't. You didn't take that shot. You let the door open, and Houston came running through that door, and then you just kept opening the door just a little bit more for them to just keep coming through that door. One play after another, after another, after another, when you should have stepped on the throats and ended the game. And sure, they had a great season, but it didn't matter at this point. Everything that led up to this point was really what mattered. This was the game where you should have won and you should have been talking about next week, and unfortunately we're not. But we'll take a break. We'll kind of calm down a little bit.
Hey,
we'll come
but
down.
Hey, we made the playoffs.
We'll come back. We'll hear from the locker room. Some players are starting to talk in the locker room at Locker Room Cleanout Day. Maybe we'll have a player coming up here in a little bit, but we'll step aside, take a timeout. More of your phone calls are absolutely welcome. We'll have Josh Allen at 11:30 live from the Bills locker room as we continue here on our Sports Talk Sunday coverage of Bills Locker Room Cleanout Day on WGR.
Snap. Josh Allen takes a look. Pressure. Can't get away from it. He is sacked. Back at his own 38-yard line. He is brought down by Jacob Martin. In trouble, and he is sacked. He is brought down. Trent Murphy brings him down back around the 47-yard line.
All right. Hey, have you gotten your tickets yet for the WGR Celebrity Roast of Eric Wood? Well, tickets, including VIP tickets, Pella VIP tickets, are available now at WGR550.com. Former Bill Ritchie Incognito has been confirmed as one of the roasters, with more to come. So be sure to get your tickets now because they are going fast. It is the WGR Celebrity Roast of Eric Wood that is coming up on Thursday, February 27th, at a new location this year, Buffalo Riverworks. And you can find all the details and get your tickets now at WGR550.com. And another reminder, tomorrow on WGR, it's Buffalo Bills Football Monday, presented by Northwest Bank, increasing the value of you. Howard and Jeremy continue to break down the game while Sal has the Extra Point show from 10 to noon, followed by One Bills Live with John Murphy and Steve Tasker. Then at 3, it's Shope and the Bulldog taking over, where they will speak with Bills safety Micah Hyde at 4. We'll take 4 of your phone calls in the next hour, but right now let's get to some locker room sound, and we'll play back Lorenzo Alexander from last night, obviously announcing that he is retiring after a 15-year career. So here's more from the Bills linebacker.
Learn from it, and as you come back next year, be better, and that's going to naturally happen with the maturation of Josh and the offense as they have more time to come together in jail. The defense will still be a high unit. You know, obviously in the offseason, I know Brandon and Sean will bring in more talent, guys, to replace myself and some other moves as well, and this team will be much better next year.
Lorenzo, what was the breakdown on the play to Taiwan where they gained a whole lot of yards?
Deshaun. Just Deshaun being Deshaun. I mean, he's a hell of a player. As I mentioned all week, when you watch film of guys giving up pressures versus him, he's been shrugging guys off all year. So that's him being a lead quarterback in this league. Obviously, we have confidence in our guys, but he made a play and we didn't. And that's what it comes down to. And that's why he's, you know, one of the faces of the NFL right now, because of that type of ability, and is very accurate when he's running around. So, I mean, great player. Kudos to him for standing up all game. Obviously, we got to him, but he never got rattled. And that's just a sign of a champion. So much respect to Watson and his team today.
Got in a little bit late, so sorry if you answered this. You've seen a lot in the NFL. Have you ever been a part of a game like that?
Not to my memory. I've been hit a lot, so I can't quite remember. But, I mean, probably not in the playoffs like that. It's probably the tightest playoff game, going in overtime. Ups and downs. Oh, we about to lose. We about to win. We about to lose. We about to win. You know, it was definitely an emotional roller coaster there. So that's probably the number one game as far as the emotions that went into it, especially at the end.
When will you take time to decide what you want to do personally next year?
Oh, I'm done. I'm done. Yeah, I made the decision a while ago, and so I'm at peace with it. And it's more about choosing my family than not choosing football. And, you know, I've played 15 years, no regrets at all. Made a lot of great teammates, people that I call family for the rest of my life. I mean, Sal, you're one of those guys that, you know, I've been with for the last 4 years, know your family very well, as much as other people around here as well. And that's what I'll take from, you know, being in this league for that long, what I'll cherish always. So it's been a great ride. Like I said, I have no regrets. I've loved every minute of it. And, you know, I'll still be around. You know, I'm part of this community in Buffalo. So hopefully I can do something like Kyle Williams is doing, Eric Wood, you know, still engaged and coming around and still being a Buffalo Bill. So I'm a Bills for life.
Does this confirm then that you are 100% sure? Because a game like this is the type of
one I'm 100%
where you
sure.
You say, man, I'm coming back.
No, so close and I'm not going to allow a game like this to factor into a decision that I made with my wife a while ago. Like I said, it's about my family, and I'm a man that holds my family in high regards, and they've been with me for the last 11 years of my career, and it's time so I can play more of the background, be a father, be a husband full time, and be able to do it at a high level, because I am 36. This game is brutal, and the more I play, the more deliberating it'll be on my body the older I get. And so I want to be able to, like I said, I want to be able to beat my sons as long as I can, you know, out playing basketball, playing them, because I'm competitive. So it's about being with them, coaching them, pointing to my sons, obviously being with my wife. She's played such a vital role in my success, and it's time for me to allow her to do some of the things that she wants to do, and just be a supportive husband, stay-at-home dad. We've done a great job financially, and so I'll have a lot of liberties as far as what I want to do after football. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, and mainly because I don't have any regrets. I played the game the right way, came up undrafted and played 15 years, and I played and exceeded more than I ever can imagine.
When were you at peace with it, so?
Probably in the middle of the season. You know, just kind of going back and forth. But at the end of the day, it was about making a decision for my family. And because it was about my family and not about walking away from something that I love, I think that made it more at peace for me.
All right, that was Lorenzo Alexander after yesterday's 22-19 overtime loss to the Texans. He's officially calling it a career. Lorenzo Alexander, after 15 years, retiring from the NFL, and really a good 4 years in Buffalo, whereas he was originally going to be brought in to be more of a special teams guy. He ended up forming a very good bond with a lot of the players and putting in a really good role for the team as not only a leader, but also a pivotal guy on that defensive unit as a guy linebacker where he's, you know, rushing the quarterback at the I don't remember if it was his first or second year with the Bills. Maybe he put up a ton of sacks, was a Pro Bowler, and was really a good player for this Bills team. And he was going to be a free agent this year, and officially he's going to call it a career. So best of luck to Lorenzo Alexander. I know that I think he had some talking points earlier in the year where, you know, maybe there was a future for him in broadcasting. And I think that Lorenzo Alexander would be a really great broadcaster moving forward here if he decided to go down that path. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We got an hour and a half to go until we lead you up to the NFC wildcard matchup between the Vikings and Saints. And we'll get your phone calls. We'll get your text tweets in. Any way you want to communicate with us, now's the time to do it because we got a lot of time. We'll get Josh Allen at 11:30 live from Locker Room Cleanout Day down at One Bills Drive. And plenty of time to talk with you here on WGR.
Watson under center, takes a snap, going to throw it. Rolls right, fires right, caught by Hyde, and he strolls into the end zone for the touchdown. A 5-yard touchdown pass from Deshaun Watson to Carlos Hyde.